be seated. The first reading this morning is from Exodus chapter 24, verses 12 through 18. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights.
New Testament scripture this morning is from the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we were made known to you, when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we had been eyewitnesses to his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain." So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. "You will do well to be attentive to this, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will. But men and women, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God." May God add his blessing and lend understanding to the reading of his word. While I was in college, probably while I was still thinking I was supposed to be a computer programmer, I hung out with my brother, who was training to be a minister. It's kind of a funny story. He was training to be a minister, but I ended up ordained before he did. Just want you to know. Sibling rivalries being what they are. But my brother was friends with the minister in training at a local church. And he had keys to everything. And one day, he took us all the way up to the belfry of this very tall church, this tall spire. I'd never been up in the belfry of a church before, and it was just so cool. It was a weekday. Nobody was in the church. He just took us up there, and the world looked so different from up there. You're looking down on everything, and it was just so high up. And while we're sitting there enjoying the view on a very sunny day, along comes a kid riding his bike down below. And my brother said, "Hey, who's that?" And the minister in training, Phil, I will withhold his last name to protect the guilty, said, "That's Dave." I'll withhold Dave's last name to protect the innocent. "That's Dave down there, riding his bike." And so Phil called out. He had a very deep preacher's booming voice. "Dave!" Dave stopped his bike. Where did that come from? We were not visible up there. He could not see us. And then again, "Dave!" Dave finally called out, "Where are you?" Phil replied, "Up here, Dave." Dave was flabbergasted. "Who are you?" He had to do this. "This is God, Dave." Big pause, long pause, obvious confusion on his face, which we could just make out from the distance. Again, he says, "Where are you?" "Up here, Dave." Apparently, Dave could not take it any longer. He got on his bike and rode away quick, obviously frightened by what he had just heard. That was in the 80s. Dave is probably close to 50 right now, and I don't know if anybody ever set him straight. I don't know if anybody ever told that poor guy that we were just horsing around up in the belfry, that Phil was just joking around up there. I sincerely hope so. I feel kind of guilty about it now. And I don't think that Dave would have ever forgotten such an ominous display, such an ominous voice coming from the sky must have had an effect on him. It must have stuck with him in some way, good or bad. I've never found out what happened to Dave. He's still riding his bike. I hope he's moved on from there. But if you heard such an ominous demonstration of what you thought was God's voice, it would certainly stick with you. And that's what we're reading today in 2 Peter. Peter claiming to be there, to have been there, when the voice of God was heard, as recorded in the Synoptic Gospels, the baptism of Jesus, where the voice of God was heard. This event, the baptism of Jesus, is recorded in all four of the Gospels, but the Synoptic ones, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they have Jesus being immersed by John the Baptist, and all three of those Gospels have the heavens opening up. And all three of them have the Spirit of God descending on Jesus like in the form of a dove. And all three of them have the voice of God saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am pleased." And so the voice of God is heard clearly and certainly. Although it doesn't say this was a thundering voice, we all imagine it being that way, that it was loud, just like Phil was doing. Loud and kind of powerful and strong and ominous, maybe a little bit. And yet God is declaring his great love for his Son. John's gospel account is a little different. God had already apparently spoken to John the Baptist. So John the Baptist was told that whenever the dove descended on Jesus, that would be his clue as to who God's Son is. And so John saw the dove descending and said, "That's Jesus is the Son of God." And John is very excited about that. Either way, we often point to these passages as proof of the Trinity, as a doctrine. The word Trinity does not appear anywhere in Scripture, but it is one of my beliefs. It's my belief that God somehow, in some mysterious way, is really three persons in one. And these passages identify all three persons being in the same place at one time. But they're named separately, but they're all together as one, and they're all on the same page, and they're all saying that Jesus is the Son of God. So the three are one. And so this is the only scriptural evidence of the doctrine of the Trinity that people believe, that I believe. And I think of it as a human idea that we have that explains something that's inexplainable, which is God. God is so much bigger than anything that we could ever come up with any construct or any invention that we'd ever have, but we try. God speaks in those episodes. The voice of God is clearly heard, whether it was thundering or whether it was gentle and still. Whatever it is they heard, they knew unmistakably that was the voice of God. In the one-year Bible club, as we're reading through the Bible, we're working through the books of the law, a passage from which was read today earlier by Sarah. And God seems to be speaking a lot. In the Exodus passage, Moses is going up on the mountain in Mount Sinai and having conversations with God, and the kinds of details that God is providing about how to set up the tabernacle, how to do good things and what are bad things, all the rights and wrongs, the Ten Commandments. These books come together, and all these instructions are written down, or are at least recorded orally as part of their oral tradition. God appears so often, so early in those first five books, and speaks so much. He speaks with Adam and Eve in the garden before they are banished. He speaks with Abraham. He speaks with Jacob. He speaks especially through Moses. And everyone had this way of knowing. They were hearing the voice of God. And then as we proceed through the books of the Bible, we have other places where God is speaking. And we experience the book of Ezekiel, which is pretty much claiming to be God speaking directly to everyone, that this is the voice of God. And then, of course, we have the four baptism narratives that I mentioned earlier. What a powerful thing it must be to hear the voice of God. It would change your life. You probably wouldn't have to be thundering Phil's voice coming from the clouds. Just if you knew it was something outside of yourself, someone, God, speaking to you. And you wonder, if you don't hear that every day, if you don't hear it at all, did God stop speaking to you? Is God done? Does God not speak anymore? Well, I think God is still speaking to us. I just think we're too busy to listen. I think that we are too caught up in so many interruptions and distractions that if God was speaking to us today, it would just be one of many voices that fill our heads each day on the radio, on the TV, on the internet, in conversations with each other. There are just so many ways that we just keep talking and nobody seems to be listening. I'll tell you the story of Anthony. Anthony lived from 251 AD to 356 AD, so that clocks him in at about 105 years old when he died. When he was a young man, his parents died and left him with a lot of money. So imagine being young and you've got all this money. He went on to church one day, and there in the church, someone was reading the scriptures, telling the story of Jesus and the rich young ruler. If you know that story, Jesus has a rich young ruler come up to him and say, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus tells him specifically, sell all you have and give your money to the poor and follow me. And the rich young ruler walks away sad because he had lots of money and he wanted to keep it. But he walked away sad. Well, Anthony decided that that message was for him and maybe nobody else. You know, you can't say to every rich person, sell everything you have and give it to the poor, can you? It certainly wasn't, I don't believe, my intention to ever say that to everybody. It's a discernment process. Anthony felt that was for him, and so he did. He sold everything he had, gave it all away to the poor, and then he went off into the wilderness, which was the only place he could then afford to live, and he was alone with God for 20 years, out there trying to survive. His life was like an episode of Survivor all the time. for all those years. Sometimes he heard the voice of God out there. Sometimes he felt tempted. Sometimes he felt confronted by his own inner demons. He saw visions of things, perhaps because of malnutrition. Perhaps maybe God was working through him. He struggled with himself. And when he got through the wilderness, when he got through his 20 years out there in the wilderness, he came out from the wilderness a well man, totally having confronted the dark side of himself, totally aware of what he really was like and what he was really about, and capable of discerning the spirits, capable of knowing what's right and wrong, and capable of letting God speak to him. This is written about by Henry Nouwen in a book called The Way of the Heart. I recommend you read this sometime. I think pastors should be reading this too, quite often. One time I read this at a meeting, and it made a pastor very angry. It did. It took him weeks to deal with it, and then he wrote me an email and said, that message was for me. I didn't want to hear it, but it's what I needed to hear. It wasn't me. I was just reading what Henry Nouwen wrote. But it can speak to us. It confronts us. Perhaps confronted that pastor with one of his demons. It certainly confronts me with my own. And Nouwen writes about Anthony, having gone through this experience, that Anthony learned to diagnose the hearts of people and the mood of his time, and thus he was able to offer insight, comfort, and consolation. Solitude had made him a compassionate man. Maybe you don't have a thundering voice coming down from the heavens, but you have the chance to be quiet and to be alone, and to shut off all media, and see if God can tell you something, if you can hear something, perhaps an inarticulate speech of the heart, perhaps something that you should be doing, or something you need to confront yourself about, something you need to learn. Shut it all off, and let yourself be quiet before the Lord. And don't forget, we have something that the early believers did not have. We have God's words in Scripture right now. So for example, if you hear a voice in your head saying, I should become a mass murderer today, run it by this book and see if God really is speaking that, because that's inconsistent with the Scripture that says, you shall not kill. If God is encouraging you to cheat on your spouse today, run it by this book and hear the words of Jesus that talked about the dangers of adultery. If God is encouraging you to steal, if you think you hear the voice of God encouraging you to steal, again, the Ten Commandments, you shall not steal. If you're encouraged to gossip, if you're encouraged to badmouth others, or to speak falsely of others, or triangulate in some way, I think this book has plenty to say. God's spoken it. It's all here. And these words are still available to you, so you need to use it and run this and make this your filter about how to behave. This is still the voice of God that you can use to help you find your way through this. I don't rule out the possibility that someday you might hear the thundering voice of the authentic God in the future. I'm not going to shut that down. Maybe it doesn't happen as often as it did early on, but I don't know that we're done. Perhaps someday you'll hear the voice of God clearly in an articulate way, audible way, but maybe more often you'll feel a conviction, you'll feel a sense in your heart that it's time to do something. In 2002, as I was just starting ministry, there was this guy named Steve in my congregation, not me. It's kind of interesting. The church was looking for a pastor, and you've all been through that. You know what a difficult job that is, those of you that were on the search committee. At one point, one of the members of the search committee said, just give me a name, God, just give me a name. Who am I supposed to call to be our pastor? And she heard clearly, Steve. And then they called me. I became their pastor. There was a guy named Steve in my congregation who was very serious about God. And he was trying to live for him and serve him. He was older than me. He was he hadn't figured out what his purpose was in the world yet. And then one day, I felt God in a quiet way saying, you ought to talk to him about being a minister. You should. You should say something. And I said, really, Lord? Really? And I heard, don't wait another minute. Well, it was in the middle of a meeting. I wasn't going to blurt it out in front of the meeting, in front of everybody. And maybe that's bad on my part. Maybe I should have done it at the meeting. After the meeting was over, I asked if I could just sit down and talk with him. And I said one thing to him. I said, why are you not a minister? If you come back to me and say, here's why, because of this, this, and the other thing, I'll accept that. Why are you not a minister? And then I never heard from him for like 3 weeks. He like was gone. I'm thinking, boy, did I offend him? Is he mad at me? I don't want to lose people. I don't want to start being that pastor that drives people away. I don't want to be that. But he came back to me, and he said, you know, that stuck with me for 3 weeks, and I finally came back, and I said, no good reason. No good reason. You know, and things progressed, and I decided to leave that church, and he became my successor. And so Steve is the pastor of the church I was at. He's been there for 15 years, and to this day, I believe that that voice that told that search committee member, Steve should be your pastor. She was talking about the other Steve, not me. I was there for 3 years. I had a role, but it was his position. Church is flourishing under his leadership. God is using him. During those 3 years, God used that time for people to realize and see his calling, and eventually everybody saw it, and it was so easy for them to go to him when I left. So Steve became the pastor. That's a voice I thought I heard in my heart, and so I followed it. And it wasn't thundering. It didn't come down from the mountaintop. It just came to me that I should talk to him about being a minister. And I'm grateful to God for what God has done through that whole episode. Maybe God is saying something to you. Maybe there's not going to be a dramatic show. It just might be the quiet, inarticulate speech of the heart, convicting you to do something. But you're only going to find that if you shut everything off and be quiet for a while. Put down the book, shut off the TV, turn off the radio, close down your internet, sit and quietly deal with your own inner demons, and let God speak to you. Arsenius, one of the desert fathers, like Anthony, wrote, I have often repented of having spoken, but never of having remained silent. See if you can hear God speak in the silence.